Well, good morning, everyone. Well, obviously, I'm not Pastor Paul. Pastor Paul and Pastor Ainsley are in Oregon right now for a long mini vacation. They do send their greetings, and they're praying for you. But can you do the same thing and be praying for them? How many of us know? Actually, none of us would know, right? But being a senior pastor is pretty difficult, and except over there, so and some of our missionaries. But leading a church takes a lot of dedication, takes a lot of planning, takes a lot of a toll on their energy. And so we release them for vacation time and just be praying for them, all right?
Yes, sir.
Well, this morning, well, first service, I gave everyone a joke. And it didn't go so well, but I'm going to try with you guys again, okay? I tweaked it a little bit, okay? So you guys want to hear it? Okay, cool. All right, so a new pastor decided to visit the children's Sunday school. And so the teacher introduced him and said, "Pastor, this morning we're studying Joshua." "That's wonderful," said the new pastor. "Let's see what you're learning. Who tore down the walls of Jericho?" Little Billy shyly raised his hand and offered, "Pastor, I didn't do it." Taken aback, the pastor asked, "Well, come on now, who tore down the walls of Jericho?" The teacher, interrupting, said, "Pastor, Billy is a good boy. If he says he didn't do it, I believe he didn't do it." So flustered, the pastor went to the Sunday school director and related the story to him. The director, looking worried, explained, "Well, sir, we've had some problems with Billy before. Let me talk to him and see what we can do." Now, really bothered by the answers of the teacher and the director, the new pastor approached the deacons and related the whole story, including the responses of the teachers and the director. So one of the gentlemen in the board thoughtfully stroked his chin and said, "Well, Pastor, I move we just take some of the money from the general fund to pay for the walls and leave it at that." All right, this is better. So just a question there. Who tore down the walls of Jericho? God did. Thank you. All right, so I've been preaching on praying for miracles with our young adults, and as we get into this series, I can say that sometimes when you're praying for a miracle, there are times when you're gonna hit what I call a prayer wall, where you're praying for God to work and you're seeing progress and you're seeing God work in your life and you're moving in the right direction, and as you're praying and you're seeing these things happening, suddenly you hit a wall that seems too big for you, a dead end where it looks like it's totally impossible and you feel like giving up. Well, this morning we're going to look at one of the famous miracles of the Old Testament where the walls of Jericho fell. As the children of Israel left captivity in Egypt and headed into the Promised Land, the very first battle that they were to fight was the Battle of Jericho. So if you have your Bibles, will you open them with me to Joshua 6? Now, we just celebrated 4th of July, not too long ago, correct? And something that also happens on that day in Huntington Beach is that we have the Surf City Run, 5K. The 5K run. Now, for someone like me who used to run cross country in high school, 5K is pretty standard. But for someone like me who also has shin splints, 5K is not fun for me. All right, so it's almost a non-starter. I don't like running anymore because of shin splints. Okay, and so do we have any runners here today? Yeah, all right, cool. If you run, okay, so if I get this wrong, please don't correct me, okay? But if you talk to runners, they'll tell you when they're running a course, eventually they're going to come to what we call a wall, okay? That's when all your stored energy, all your, glycogen, gets depleted, and you literally feel like you hit a wall and you can't move past forward, okay? And so to finish the course, it really becomes a matter of mind over matter, to just keep going, all right? And so I want you to follow along with me today. It's a long passage, what we're going to read through, and there are times when you're praying for God to answer, and you're praying, you're waiting on God, and you're waiting on God, you're waiting on God, and you don't think God is going to come through. You're not sure you'll ever see that finish line. You may feel that way as I read this passage because it's really long. But I want you to just hang in there, okay? It's important, and I believe that he's going to use his word this morning to encourage you. So, verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the Ark of the Lord's Covenant and assign seven priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the Ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the Ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the Ark of the Lord. The seven priests with the ram's horns marched in front of the Ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priests with the horns and behind the Ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. Can you guys imagine walking the entire time blowing their horns? They must sound like me right now, a little nasally, okay? On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us so many promises that you want us to possess. Yet I know everyone faces walls, and I know there are people here today listening to the sound of my voice that are facing enormous walls that they feel like they can't just break through. But Lord, you taught us that without prayers, you are able to smash down those walls. There's no wall that can keep you from doing your work in our lives. So I pray, Lord, right now, will you fill us with hope this morning? Give us a word of encouragement into our heart that those around us that are facing a wall and feel like they're at a dead end, that feel like they're in an impossible situation, know that you are Lord over their lives and that you are Lord over their circumstances. Fill us with your word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so, the first point I want to bring up is knowing when there's a wall in front of you. Okay? And the title of my message is When Our Perspective is Blocked. And I want to bring up three things about walls. And I think that you need to know these three things because you're going to hit walls in your life. And if you don't know these three things, you're going to get really frustrated and you're going to give up, especially when you're going to give up on praying to God. And so why do we pray for a miracle? And when we're praying for God to work, and then we don't see any results, and then we give up. Why is that? Why do we stop praying so quickly? Maybe it's because we don't understand these three things I'm going to bring up about walls that God wants to teach us. Okay? And so the first point A is barriers can alter our perspective. Barriers can block your perspective. The Battle of Jericho was the first battle the people of Israel fought after they entered the Promised Land. They've been in the desert for 40 years. Finally, they go into the Promised Land and they're thinking, man, this is going to be amazing. We're in the Promised Land. But they also knew going to the Promised Land that they were going to have to conquer it. They had to fight battles. All right? And so they knew their first fight was coming up. And the first city they came to is Jericho. And it had this huge, enormous wall. Now, Jericho, in of itself, isn't very big. It had a small population. Most thought, based on back then what population size it would be around 1,000 to 2,000 people. Okay? But the wall they had was huge. And if you do your research, they'll say they most likely thought that the wall was about 13 feet high, and they had towers that were 25 feet high. Okay? But what made this wall even more unique was that it was a sloping wall. And so it made scaling it very difficult. And so can you imagine you're the Israelites, you just entered the Promised Land, and so you're kind of worried about the first battle you're worried that you might get hurt or killed in your very first battle. Now, again, this is a whole entire generation that grew up in the desert. They never fought before, have no military background, okay? Never seen victory, never seen defeat too, okay? But and they come up to Jericho, and they see this wall. I'm sure they're going to like, yeah, I'm going to die today. Think about that. And what do they do back then when you're trying to scale a wall? Your enemy defending the wall would most likely throw rocks at you from the top, shoot arrows at you, or pour hot oil over your head, trying to kill you, right? Chances of you scaling up the entire wall scratch-free was basically zero. So how in the world, as an Israelite, do you think they're going to take on this insurmountable wall that look impossible from their perspective? And can I say again, right? Walls can alter our true perspective. It's really hard to see what God is up to when we hit a wall in our life. We don't know what's on the other side of that wall. We don't know how to get over it or around it. And so we lose perspective. Some of you today are starting to lose your perspective because you've hit a wall of worry about a health problem that's going on in your life. Or maybe it's a wall of depression or a wall of grief that's just overwhelming you from a loss. Maybe you've hit a wall in your marriage or a wall with your kids. Maybe you've hit a wall at your workplace and you're starting to lose perspective because all you can see is that obstacle, that wall. Can I tell you, one of the greatest walls ever built, do we know what it is? The Great Wall of China. For something that is so big and massive, do you know you can't actually see the Wall of China from low Earth orbit without magnification? You can't see it. The Great Wall of China is nothing compared to the greatness of God who created the universe. And you need to believe then that your wall is nothing nothing compared to the greatness of God. It's just that maybe you've lost some perspective. You're too close to that wall, and all you see is that wall up front against you. But if you can get some God-level perspective, maybe you can see that that wall is really, really tiny, almost incomprehensible compared to the greatness of your God. And can I tell you, when you can get some perspective when you come to worship. And that's why Jeremiah 32, 27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all the peoples of the world. Is anything too hard for me? God is saying, what? No wall is too tall for me, too hard for me. I'm bigger than any problems that you face. There is no wall that is too hard for me to handle. In fact, that wall is really small from my level. Okay? And so when we come to worship, what do we do when we worship? We focus on God. That's what worship really is. Literally, worship means to focus on God. And when you get your focus off yourself and your wall and your obstacle and your problem and you put it onto God, that's when you're really worshiping God. And that's really when you're going to change your perspective because God is going to lift you up, encouraging you even then. You came in here this morning and all you thought about was the things that are worrying you. And then maybe you start worshiping. You start singing to God and focusing on God. And then maybe through this message, if I don't bore you, you're going to start focusing on God. Amen. And you get a little more perspective. Yes, sir. You start seeing a little glimpse of how big and great your God is, and your wall starts to get smaller and smaller and smaller. And when you get a good perspective, a real perspective, then those can change. Right, God wants you to know there is no wall too big for him.
Yes, sir.
Point B is locked doors can feel like dead ends when you're facing a wall. I mean, let's be honest. When you come to a shut door in your life, it feels like a dead end and it feels like it's over, right? The Bible says the gates of Jericho was securely barred. No one was going out. No one was going in. The city was on lockdown. So the Israelites, they're coming to the promised land. They come up right to Jericho, and there's this huge wall. And the doors are shut. It's been locked. It's been barred. They are in lockdown. Can anyone here remember what it was to be in lockdown in Huntington Beach? No, because we were never really in lockdown, right? Maybe in L.A. Have you ever felt like God gave you a promise and you're praying and you're believing, you're seeing glimpses of that promise coming true, knowing that that God gave you that promise and you're praying for a miracle, and then all of a sudden the door gets slammed in your face. The door gets shut and locked and barred. What do? Do you stop believing in God and stop praying for a miracle? Can I encourage you today? Please don't stop praying just because the door gets shut in you. Let me repeat again. Please don't stop praying just because a door gets shut in your face. You see, the city was on lockdown. But why? Because the people were afraid of the Israelites. They had heard of what this incoming group of people had done. Okay? And Jericho was just a small little town. There weren't very many people inside the city walls. But the walls were huge, right? But there was only very few people in there. And they were all fearful of the Israelites. God had put this fear into their hearts. And so they knew that their wall was basically their last defense. And they knew when the Israelites come, that wall was coming down. And sometimes a locked door, maybe because Satan's behind that door, trembling in his boots, and know that it's his last stand to keep you from possessing the promise that God has for you. All right, maybe he knows that he's on his last leg and knows that all you have to do is just take one more step of faith and that wall is going to come down. That problem is going to go away. And maybe you're filled with fear because you see that obstacle and that wall and it's locked, and the locked door may not be from God at all. It may be from the enemy trying to keep you from possessing the promise that God has for you. Isaiah 22, verse 22. God says, when he opens doors, no one will be able to close them. When he closes doors, no one will be able to open them. So when God closes a door, we can't open it. No human can open it. But when God wants a door open, no one can keep it closed and locked and barred. God would blow that door open. And some of you, now, you might have some issues going on with you. Maybe it's a medical issue that you've gone to see numerous doctors about, and everyone has said the same thing, basically giving you no hope at all. Right? Maybe you're in a work situation where your boss is terrible to you and you don't see any way of getting out from it. But can I say, sometimes we just need to keep on praying for God to show up. Sometimes I believe that we are actually the ones who hinders God's plan because we stop praying right when God wants us to be praying, because he's like, that's just one more step because I want to show you what I can do for you. And we stop. He's about to knock on that door down and we stop praying and we miss out on that promise. Point C I have is that walls can look like problems that shouldn't be on the path. There's a third thing about walls you need to understand, or we'll give up praying, and that walls look like problems that shouldn't be on our path. You think the first place that the people of Israel would go once they got of the wilderness and they went into the promised land would be a little village full of friendly people, right? I mean, like maybe Californians, right? Maybe Hope Chapel. Come to Hope Chapel. Come on in. Sit down. Have coffee with us, right? Enjoy the beach later and the waves, right? Maybe I'll take you out in and out after this, right? Be a little bit more hospitable, right? But no, they come to the promised land and the first thing they hit is a wall. And sometimes we're following God. We're praying for a miracle. We're praying and we're going down God's path and we hit a wall. We're like, wait a minute, God. I thought this is what you had for me. I thought this is what you wanted for me to possess, to do. Why am I hitting a wall? Shouldn't everything be smooth sailing and the path in front of me easy and clear? Don't you light my path, my walkway? This makes no sense, God. Why am I hitting a wall when I thought this was coming from you? And so what do? We think we're either out of God's will or God doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe you need to understand that sometimes walls are part of the path that God has you on. Why? Because walls can cause us to stop and fall. When everything is going great and I'm going down God's path, then I hit a wall, it causes me to stop and fall. Either on my knees or my face, usually on my face first. But then I get on my knees quickly and I trust God, because without walls, I would never pray. If everything was always perfect in my life, then I wouldn't be drawn to get on my knees and go, God, I need you. I need a miracle. I need you to knock this wall down.
Yes, sir.
I don't know how to handle this, God. I need you to do it for me. I don't have the strength for it, only you do. And so, I pray it's the walls that keep you on your knees. It's the walls that teach you to walk in faith. Without walls, we will never learn to walk in faith. The Israelites kept walking in faith around the walls because the wall was there. They would have just gone right through if the wall hadn't been there. Now, most people estimated that when the Israelites entered the Promised Land, there was about 600,000 fighting men. 600,000, not counting women and children yet. They could literally just walk right through the town and kill everything in their path without any hurt or damage, right? But they saw this wall. And if they had just gone through that town without that wall, what would that probably could have happened? They probably say, oh, look, we're such a great army. No military background, but we managed to conquer the town in our first try, right? But no, God taught them to trust him, to depend on him, and to get to know him. And it's the walls that cause us to worship. It's the walls that cause us to stop and fall on our knees. Now, personally, I've been hit with many walls over the years. And each time I would say, God, I don't know what I'm doing. You're going to have to do it. You're going to have to do a miracle here. I mean, in fact, right now, if you ask the church staff, they'll tell you, if I have a blank stare at me in our meeting times and I'm being asked a question, I would answer with twins, man, twins. I mean, I don't know how I'm going to raise twins, to be honest. I barely do the minimum with Eliana. And all I can say each morning and night is, God, you're going to have to show me how to be a husband, how to be a parent, how to be a pastor, because I don't know if I'm doing anything right now. Okay? In fact, let me tell you what my latest wall was. See, two Fridays ago, we had to get our house fumigated. Anyone here ever got their house fumigated before? All right. I should have come to you sooner. We got our house fumigated, had to be fumigated. And so we planned a family vacation at the same time, right? Kill two birds with one stone. Well, Nicolette worked remotely. I was supposed to be on vacation. So to get it fumigated, you got to get the house ready, right? The inspector came, he gave us bags, and he says you just need to double bag all your food and your medication. Everything else is fine. And then when it's all said and done, you can come back, just reopen everything and put it back into it. You're good to go. Great. That was what our inspector said, the guy who's going to come and fumigate our place, right? Again, when the actual guys came, they said the same thing. Great. But then if you go online, one other fumigation company will say, when you come back in, you got to use wet cloths to wipe all your high surface contact areas, okay? And once you're done, you got to dispose your cloth away immediately. And I go, wait, I can't wash it? No, you got to throw it away. So, but my clothes are fine. Yeah, clothes are fine, but your wet cloths have to go away. And then another thing will tell you something like, oh, when you get back home, you got to replace your pillows, but your bedding is fine. Like, what? Doesn't make sense, right? And so I'm dealing with all this, right? We got to deal with this. And then I'll admit, I'm a huge procrastinator. I procrastinate to the very, very last minute. And so I didn't pack for my vacation until like 2 hours before it, okay? I actually packed pretty poorly. I didn't know what I packed in the bag actually until I got there. But in all the packing and stuff like that, I forgot my allergy medication. So how many of us here grew up and then suddenly realized you have a new ailment? I grew up not knowing I had allergies until I moved to the States, and then next thing I know I'm like, I can't deal with cats, I can't deal with dogs, I can't deal with pollen, but I'm pretty bad about taking my allergy medication. In fact, so bad that I did not know you're supposed to take your allergy medication daily. I thought I was supposed to take them when I needed it, but apparently that would be too late by then. You're supposed to take it to basically store up in your system, okay? But I'm a procrastinator, and the saying goes, are you doing 5 minutes worth of work in 8 hours? Or are you doing 8 hours worth of work in 5 minutes? I'm the latter. All right, I will cram 8 hours worth of work in 5 minutes all the time. Okay, and so I didn't pack well. So we go on our vacation. Friday night, we get to our hotel room, we're checked in, everything's great, we go to bed. The next morning, I wake up to a sore throat, congested nose, and I'm sneezing away. And I go, great, I do not have my allergy medication, I gotta go get some. But I'm like miserable. I lost my sense of smell or taste for the entire week. This is how bad it was. I could not smell or taste my food up until the very moment we left our vacation spot. The moment I drove past the city line, I could smell again. I was like, great. But I was miserable, and that was my wall for the entire week. Like, God, this is my vacation. Don't I deserve some time before the twins come? Come on. But instead, I'm there just miserable. I'm like stuffy and blah. I was like, oh my gosh, trying new medication, seeing what works and not. It's like crazy, right? But anyways, I'm always asking God, why? Why am I hitting this wall? And what do I do when I hit this wall? Okay? And that leads me to point number two. What do you do when you face a wall in your life? You keep walking in faith. All right? And why do you keep walking in faith? You keep walking in faith because point A, you do that to possess the promise. You walk in faith to possess what God has promised you. Now in Joshua verse 6, verse 2, it says, "But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors." So essentially, Joshua says, "Don't worry, Jericho's yours. All right, battle's already won. I've won it for you. It's over." But there was a problem. See, back in verse 1, it says, "Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in." So on one hand, you have God saying to Joshua, "You've already won the battle," but what is Joshua experiencing? He's coming up to a wall. He's coming up to something like, "I don't know, God, if we actually won this because there's a wall right here in front of me," right? God even said to Joshua at one point, "Every place where you set your foot, it will be yours." So what did Joshua have to do? All he had to do was just take another step of faith. Another step of faith. Okay, but it's a little difficult when what God is saying doesn't align with what's happening in front of you, right? See, Satan doesn't just lie down and just let you have everything that God wants to give you. You got to keep taking steps of faith. And God will fight your battle for you. So you see, Joshua looks out and he sees the wall and God says, "Victory's already won." What do you do when what you see in front doesn't line up with what God has said to you? When God has said, I'll fill you with joy, but you're filled with depression and you can't see any way out. What do you do when God says, "I fill you with peace," but all you feel is overwhelming anxiety that you can't seem to get rid of? What do you do when he says, "I've given you victory," but all you see around you is defeat? Can I encourage you this morning? Keep walking in faith until you possess that promise. Keep walking in faith. You keep praying because God is just building up your faith. Point B, you keep walking in faith when you don't see progress. In Joshua verses 7 to 11, I'm going to break it out, but it says, "Then he gave orders to the people, 'March around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord.' After Joshua spoke to the people, the seven priests with the ram's horns started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched, and the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them." I'm just going to stop right there because I want to point out the ark of the Lord's covenant was where God's presence dwelt. And so God wanted them to do this strange thing of walking around the wall, carrying the ark so that they remember that God was the one that knocked the walls down, not their strength and not their power. And sometimes God will ask you to do something weird, something unusual about your circumstance. You know, he might make you do something that doesn't make sense at all because he wants you to learn to trust him for success and to give him credit when credit is due. Continuing on with the scripture, some of the men marched in the front of the priests with the horns and some behind the ark, with the priests continually blowing the horns. "Do not shout, do not even talk," Joshua commanded. "Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout." So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day, and then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. So they marched around the city one time, blowing horns the entire time, And all this stuff was going on, and they get around the city. Probably takes them about an hour or so, knowing how big Jericho was at that time. They get around the city, and they say, just go home to your camp. So they go home. Nothing has happened. They do this for 6 days, six more days. And then on the seventh day, they march around the city six more times. And what do they have to show for it? Absolutely nothing. Zero. They haven't seen anything happen to the wall. See, if I was God, thankfully I'm not, but if I was God, I think I would have handled it a little bit differently. Right? The first time they got around the city and they finished that first lap, I would have made a few bricks fall at the top. Right? Just to keep them motivated. I mean, that's how you motivate people, right? They need to see some progress. It's like, man, what Pastor David is telling me is working. All right, so I'm going to keep on doing it. It's like, so the next day, right, after they walk around the wall, I would maybe have 4 or 5 feet of bricks fall off the wall. All right? And they go, whew, man, did you see that happen today? Can't wait to get back at it tomorrow morning because it's working. That wall is coming down. I love walking around the walls because those walls just keep falling. Oh, I'm telling you, it's not going to take much more. Everything's going to fall down. We're going to win this battle. That would have motivated Israelites, right? But God knows better than I do. And so the Israelites kept walking and walking and walking, and not one single brick fell. What do you do when you're praying for a miracle and you don't see any progress? And you're circling around that problem. And some of you have been circling around a broken heart, damaged emotions. You're circling around, you're praying and praying, and it's not getting any better. Or some of you are circling around a marriage issue over and over and over again. It's not working. Maybe some of you are praying for your kids to come back. They've gone the wrong direction. And you're praying and praying and praying, and they still have not turned around. What do you do when you're praying for a miracle and things get worse? What do you do? Can I tell you to just take another lap of faith? You take another lap in faith, leaving the results to God. Hey, by the way, when progress is not obvious, that doesn't mean that God is not working. Just because you can't see doesn't mean that God is not working. God is working. Sometimes you can't see anything happening to the wall in front of you, but sometimes something's happening inside of you. God is preparing you for the wall to come down. God is drawing you closer to Him. It's the pain of the wall not falling that's drawing you closer to its presence. And you're finding out what real joy is and what real peace and what real victory is when it happens. It's able to walk in faith, not by sight. So what happens when you're praying for something and then it gets worse? Do not give up. All right? Do you give up? Because usually we do. But God says, that happens. I'm just wanting to teach you how to walk in faith. Yes, sir. Real maturity is when you're walking in faith despite the results that you see and leaving the results to God. Yes, sir. It's our job to obey, and it's God's job to deliver. Yes, sir. You just take another lap in faith, and you take another lap in faith as if it's your last one. And my last point, and I'm going to invite the worship team up, is that you keep walking in faith until the walls fall down. I find it interesting that Joshua actually never tells the people what God told him specifically. He tells them how to walk around, but he never tells them, hey, by the way, there's actually a plan here. On the seventh day, on the seventh lap, the walls are going to fall down, so just hang in there, okay? He never tells them that. I wonder why. I wonder maybe it's because he wanted the Israelites to learn to follow him, just like how he's following God. Maybe, I'm not sure. But I find it interesting that you have this group of people walking around the wall, not knowing at any one time when a result was going to come. And so the people didn't know that the walls were going to fall on the seventh lap. They walk around the wall 6 days, and then on the seventh day, the sixth time, and still not seeing one brick fall. What would have happened if they stopped? Some of you have walked around the wall 6 times and you're giving up, and a miracle is coming on the next lap. Can I say, please don't stop on the 6? You keep walking in faith. It's interesting that the number 6 is always the symbol of man's number in the Bible. It means imperfect, broken, sinful. 6 is always used as the imperfect number. But 7 is God's number, the perfect number. So they didn't know at that time that they were on the perfect number as they walked around. That was the number the walls would fall. And in our time now, we don't know when that 7th lap is. The next lap could very well be the lap where our falls and our obstacles fall away. So please don't give up. Keep walking. As we close here, I want to, if I could have you all stand with me as we read this last portion. Joshua 6, verse 14 to 16, it says, "On the second day, they again marched around the town once and returned to the camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, 'Shout, for the Lord has given you the town.'" But we're not going to shout today, but we're going to sing. We're going to give praise to the Lord. For God has given you a promise, each and every one of you. And all you need to do is not stop on the 6th lap. Don't stop. What do you do when you've gone around 6 times and you haven't seen a result? You keep walking in faith. 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 Don't quit before the 7th lap. Don't quit until the walls fall down. It was interesting. Exactly 2 years to this date, I preach on Joshua. Exactly 2 years to this day. And when I left for vacation, again, I'm the procrastinator, right? I didn't prep my message until like 3 days ago. But leading up to my vacation on Thursday, I said, you know, God, what is my message gonna be? I had known I was gonna be preaching this Sunday for some time now. But the procrastinator in me procrastinated, and finally I was like, God, what am I gonna preach? And it leads me to this chapter. Now, I knew I was going to preach on Joshua 6. I told Pastor Sean, hey, I'm going to be preaching on Joshua 6. But I actually didn't really know my material yet. I didn't know what I was going to be preaching on. And so I'm in vacation, and I hit my wall. And I'm so upset. And then finally, Nicolette told me, hey, don't you need to prep your message? I was like, yeah, I do. So finally, I opened up my Bible and my tablet, and I'm reading a passage. And I'm just like, if I had only prepped before my vacation, maybe my vacation would have been a little bit different. But it was such a sweet reminder for me that I should keep on going. I should keep on walking in faith and trusting in God. And I hope this message reaches to you this morning. And so we're going to pray. We're going to sing again this morning. But will you just lift up your voice right now? And will you surrender your problems and your obstacles to the Lord this morning? Thank you.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.